to thank Michael and Dubs for having me down here this evening, myself, also my wife. I like to speak in the Eastern Algonquin tongue just to let you know what it sounds like. Now, this language we have spoke for tens of thousands of years, and it's one of maybe 4,000 dialects here in North America and South America combined. So you see, there were many different languages and customs. We differed a lot in our dress and various customs depending on where we lived in the country. But I speak the Eastern Algonquin language, not fluently. My father's mother spoke it fluently. She was the last of our family to speak it. Now, of course, when I was growing up, I was around many Indian people, mainly my family, in New Milford, Connecticut. And we lived all up in those hills, see. And I heard the language spoke quite often, but my grandmother was the one, and her sister also, my Aunt Belle, spoke it also, and she was 114 when she died. I like just to speak a little bit in this tongue. Kaymanooch, Rimanooch, Nayapehese, Anajoho Sujo, Tishfunok, Bapahani. Now, I know you don't know what that means, but what it means is my grandmother, every Saturday night, mainly during the winter months, we used to spend over her house, and it was storytelling time. And she would say, Tishunok, Mapahani, which means it's storytelling time. And my brother, myself, and my cousins, and my sisters were a lot younger than us, so they weren't in our group. But there was maybe six or seven of my age group that used to spend Saturdays evenings during the winter months at my grandmother's house to listen to the stories. We also were taught our histories going back, oh, thousands and thousands of years. I am a Sketicook Indian, but you see, the Sketicooks were organized in 1728. And one of my grandfathers, his name was Gideon Marwee, started the Sketicook tribe. He called from all four directions people to join him up at Kent, Connecticut. He was heir to the territory at that time. And quite a few people joined him, and they started the Sketicook tribe, which is members of all the various clans and sachemdoms around that region during that time, such as the Potatuck, Pogasets, the Narragansetts, Nitecs, the Pequots, and the Mohegans, the Connecticut Mohegans, and also the New York State Mohegans. They all joined him, and they started the Sketicook tribe. And it's very dear to my heart because I was raised there and I know the histories of my ancestors going 15,000 years back in the Housatonic River Valley of Connecticut. The great capital of our nation was Cordowinternock, and that was in New Milford, Connecticut. My father was full-blood Potatuck Indian, and my mother's half-blood Potatuck Indian. And my mother belonged to the Turtle Clan. My father was of the Turkey Clan. But the stories and the histories that we were taught as children, some of them stuck in my mind. And I never knew I was going to be a storyteller till a few years ago when my wife had asked me to fill in for her, and which I did, and I sort of enjoyed it. But I would like to share one of the stories that I heard when I was 11 winters ago, and it was told to me by my great-great-uncles and some of my great uncles. Now, these men were very old, and the traditions passed down, and I heard many stories when I was a child. Some I still can recollect, and some I forgot. But this story that I like to share with you was told by one of the greatest storytellers of my nation. His name was Norgun Tucky. And he related this story when he was 177 years old. Yes, my friends, he lives over 177 years. And he first related this story when he was 177 years old. And the name of the story is The Ice Giants and Ice Children. Now, I have told this story. This is the third time I told it. And to me, I am carrying on my tradition of my family by telling you the story. And I don't write it down. I tell it through my heart the way I heard it, and I could remember it when I was 11 years old. So I would like to get into that story now. Many years ago, you know, so far back in time that no one remembers when. Father's son went on a long journey. Visit Grandfather Sky, who lived on the other side of the skyland in his wigwam. You see, Grandfather Sky was a very, very old man, and his fires were almost out, and he was very old. So as Father's son started his journey way up in the sky, the people watched as he disappeared within the sky. And then a cool wind breathed across the land that chilled the people. The animals hunted for hiding places, and the birds flew in all four directions. During this time, the land was absent of any rivers or lakes. It was a dry land, but Father's son had smiled upon these people, and the thunder gods gave ample rain for their crops of corn, beans, squash, various potatoes, and sweet potatoes. And the people seemed to be happy. But when Father's son left to visit Grandfather's sky, the people did not understand why he left. So the birds flew in the various directions. Now, as the people looked along the sky, it got darker and grayer, but suddenly a large shadow seemed to move across the sky. It was in the form of a great bird, and his wingspan seemed to reach from one horizon to the other. As the great bird moved over the people, he spoke to the people and said, "I have a message from Father Son. Do not be frightened, my people, but to gather together and go over the great salt water to the Wanupi Islands. And once there, you will receive further instructions." So Great Bird plucked a large feather from his wings and blew it down onto the people, and all the people gathered on the great feather. And when they were all on the feather, Great Bird blew on the feather, and it floated over to the Wanupi Islands. All the people on the island, once they were there, they felt an awful tremble, like the earth and the islands were shaken. The trees seemed to splinter and fall, and the earth seemed to slide off into the great salt water. And then the people knew they were on the backs of the great turtles. And when the people looked over at their ancestral homelands, they could see swirls of ice and snow coming down on their homes. And they heard these eerie sounds, and they knew by the noise and the looks of the tornado-like snow swirling around and ice blowing up that it was the ice giants and ice children that had come from out of their ice wigwams far off in the north country. The next thing that happened was that it was the little muskrat that came to the people's aid and told the people that were standing on the giant turtles to follow me, and I will guide you to the bottom of the great salt waters. So the people got underneath the turtle shell for protection, and the little muskrats guided the giant turtles deep down to the bottom of the great salt waters. And once there, the little muskrats told the giant turtle to dig down into the bottom of the great salt water till you come to the straight path. And when you get there, release the people. So the giant turtles dug a hole deep into the bottom of the great salt water, and they found some crooked paths, but they still searched further until they came to the straight paths. And so the people got out from underneath the turtle shell, and when they got out, they heard a very awful sound, like wind was coming through the tunnel. But the people stopped, and they were afraid to go in. But then they heard an awful squawking noise through the tunnel, something like a black crow squawking. And the black crow said, "Come, my people, come down through the narrow path till you come to the great opening." And so the people fought the winds through this narrow path until they came to the great opening. And there this black crow was flying above them and making an awful lot of noise until the black crow landed on a ledge and the people gathered underneath the ledge. And in the black crow's beaks were many seeds. And the black crow spoke to the people and dropped the seeds upon the people and told them to plant the seeds. And then the black crow took off a claw and dropped it on the people, and when it hit the ground, it broke into hundreds of pieces. And then everything got quiet. Suddenly there was a gentle voice that echoed through the great opening. It was the voice of Mother Earth. And she says, "Welcome, my little children. Here you will be safe till Father Son returns someday for his children. Here you will plant your seeds. But you see, nobody knows how long the people stayed in the womb of Mother Earth. Nobody could remember that, for they lost all sense of time. So we don't know how long the people were inside Mother Earth. But you see, one day, the people heard a gurgling sound like a stream going by. And they looked up and they seen shades of light coming through the cracks from the earth. And Mother Earth spoke again very gently to her people and said, "Awake, my children. Father Son has returned from his visit with Grandfather Sky, and he wants to see his little children. So you must leave the way you came in." So the people gathered their belongings and they left the great opening and went through the tunnel. And there, at the end of the tunnel, was the little muskrats that guided the great giant turtles to the top of the great salt water. And when the people got up on top of the salt waters, they seen the sun shining warmth upon them. And Father Son spoke to his little children and said, "Come, my children, and see the beauty which I have brought." So the people got on the feather and it floated over to their ancestral homelands again. And there the people noticed that the earth was moist with green things. The scent of flowers breathed across the land. A bluebird sang in the tree, and the birds came home again, and they sang their prettiest songs in the greening groves. The animals came out from the hiding places. And Father Son spoke to his children and said, "The ice giants and ice children are just to the north of us.
We must chase them back to their ice wigwams in the far north countries. So the people got their spears and ropes, and they watched Father's son as he turned in a northerly direction. And the people started to follow Father's son and chase the ice giants and ice children. How far they ran, no one knows. Now, what happened next was very strange. When the ice giants and ice children seen Father's son on that northern direction, they became frightened. And the people had their spears thrown them at the ice giants and ice children. You know, some of the ice children stumbled and fell. And where they fell, they created the little streams and the little rivers that we see today. Some of the ice giants also stumbled and fell, which formed the larger rivers and larger lakes that we have today. Now, today, if we notice, we have four seasons. And the reason why we have the four seasons today is because the ice giants and the ice children are still out of breath from that long chase of so many years ago. So when they breathe in, we have the springtime and the summer months. And when they breathe out, you see, we have the winter, cold and snow, and that is the story of the ice giants and ice children.